Today we're going to talk about the name, the face. Everybody say with me, the name,
the face.
I'm going to verbalize the 3 points that we're going to cover briefly. And why don't you say it with me? Number one, the name. Number two, the face. And number three, the blessing. Okay? All right. We're going to talk about first the name. The name. There's something interesting about the name. Just yesterday at our prayer meeting, actually, it doesn't only happen at prayer meetings. A lot of times I myself do it. But it was interesting. We were all after the prayer meeting. Zion, the moment the prayer meeting finishes, he just knows. Like when we're finishing off, he's already getting up and he's already starting to, he's going to go and play with the Poe family. He's going to go and push them and play with them. He's always looking. He just knows after Holy Communion and everybody says amen, he's like amen, and then he's ready to jump. And it happens every week. And so the same happened yesterday. And here everybody is asking you, hey, Zion, what's my name? What's my name? Hok. And then what's my name? Isaac. What's my name? And then everybody, Zana. So he goes around and everybody is asking, what's my name? What's my name? And then when he says the name, you're like, oh. And I just got promoted. It used to be Lud. Now it's Lud. I'm like, yeah, man, he's happy to say my name. But anyway, so there's something interesting. We want people to know our name, correct? We want Zion to know our name, isn't it? There's something about name as well when we call someone. There's a very interesting, I guess, I suppose, maybe, I don't know, I'll say it this way, perhaps it is, perhaps it's not, but as far as I understand it, it's a very Asian culture to always greet your elders or always greet people and you call them by name. So oftentimes you hear, especially in this church, hey, did you call? Did you call auntie? Did you call so-and-so? Did you call so-and-so? You call them by name. You call them, you say hello, you say hi, you greet them, right? Because there's something about the name, there's something about the honor. You could just say hi, but hi so-and-so is very different to hi. You know what I'm saying, right? So what am I saying is there's something about the name that's significant, and that's what we want to talk about here. And of course, you know whose name we're talking about. All right, so what is it about the name? Well, let's look at Numbers chapter 6, the verse everybody has been praying or has just blessed someone else with this morning, okay? And we're going to read the whole passage in with a few more verses. Let's read from verse 22 to verse 26. You ready, everybody? And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying this, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. All right. Now, I don't know if you were like me, but for me, most of the time, that's where I end. I finish on verse 26. I've always memorized it, and I've always memorized up until 26. We sing the song. We usually sing up until verse 26. But there's actually one more verse in that chapter, all right? And you're wondering, what is that verse? Okay, actually, without looking, does anyone know it? Probably not. I didn't really pay attention to it. But here, I'm beginning to pay attention to that verse. And look at verse 27. Everybody read with me. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Think about it for a moment. He's saying, this is the blessing you shall speak to the children of Israel, right? But he says, you shall put my name on them, and I will bless them. So think about it here, you know, the blessing comes with the name. Or you should say the blessing is attached to that name. You see this? I want you to see the relationship of the name and the blessing. You say amen? There's something about the name of God. I won't read those verses, but in the book of Revelation, there are a group of people who are protected from the judgments of God that's going to happen on the earth. And it says, they shall be sealed where? On their forehead. And a few chapters later, those same group of people, we are told that they have the name of God written on their foreheads. So think about it. The name is attached to the blessing. Then here we have, in times of chaos and in times of trouble, here we have a group of people. They've been sealed with the seal of God. They've got on their forehead, and they have what on their forehead? The name of God, the name of the Father, written on their forehead. So what is so significant about that name? What is so significant, as we've read, some of us this morning, if you were here in Hebrews chapter 2, that Jesus says, I am not ashamed to call them brethren. And he proclaims what? The name of God to the assembly of the saints. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, it says this. Now, does anyone want to be remembered by God? I want to be. So, in verse 16, it says, so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who, everybody said, fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. So I hope that you're getting the idea of where we're going this morning with this name. The name is upon our foreheads. The name is attached to the blessing, or the blessing is attached to the name. And here we are called to meditate on his name. Now, remember that we're talking about three things this morning: the name, the face, and the blessing. Say with me, the name, the face, the blessing. Everybody wants blessing. Do you want blessing? Everybody wants blessing. But here I want to talk about the name, the face, the blessing. I want to read a story now, and hopefully I'm not sure if you're familiar with this story. Some of you might be. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 22 to 29, there's a story of Jacob. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. Abraham was called to be the father of nations. So his grandson here, he's a bit of a difficult one, always struggling, always having his way, and kind of scheming and very shrewd kind of person. All right, and God's just dealing with his ways until, I guess, he becomes more subdued. All right, but anyway, so here we are. He's about to meet his brother, his twin brother. And his twin brother basically hates him and wants to kill him. But he then meets his brother, and obviously the brother was actually very happy to see him. But here he takes a bit of a detour. He runs away from the brother, trying to avoid him. And he finds himself in a place all alone. And here we are at night. He's there all alone, okay? In verse 22, it says, and he arose that night and took his two wives, okay, and his two female servants and his 11 sons, and crossed over the fort of Jabbok. Right. Now, I want you to read alternatively, right? So, your turn. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. So what do you think happened to him, right? All right, okay. Now, where are we now? So, verse 26, and he says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. So he wants a blessing. You also want a blessing. I also want blessing, correct? All right, go. Next verse. And he said, now that's the man here now, the man he's wrestling with. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man and have prevailed. Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. Okay, so just for a moment here, I want you to see this. He asked for the name, and then you also see the blessing. Can you see that here? I don't know if he ever told him his name, but here, whatever it was, he requested to know that name. And he blessed him there. So the name and the blessing. Everybody say the name, and the blessing. The blessing is attached to the name. Very good. Now, look at this here. Verse 30. So Jacob called the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So I have seen God face to face. So why was this place called Peniel? We're talking about name today. And he called that place Peniel because Peni means face, and El is short for Elohim. So it means the face of God. So because I've seen the face of God, I'll call this place Peniel. So you find that in Scripture, names are very significant. In fact, names have meanings. God didn't give names to people in the Scriptures just because he felt like it and he thought, that sounds good, so I'll give you that name. No, he was very specific. Abraham, he called Abraham, you shall be called Abraham, because Abraham, Avraham, meaning Av being father, Am being people, nations. So father of nations, so he gave him that name. You shall not be called Simon, but you shall be Peter. You shall no longer be Jacob, as we just read. You shall be Israel. Because you have prevailed with God, you shall be a ruler, a prince, a king, Israel. So I hope that you understand that names are very significant to God. There's something about the name, because the name weren't random. And so here we have the name, we have the face-to-face encounter, and we have the blessing. Say with me, the name, the face, the blessing. Now in Psalms 130, are you following with me so far? Is it clear? All right, let's go. In Psalms 138 verse 2, I'm going to read this now. I'm going to add something to the name now. So we've seen so far the blessings attached to the name. We have seen the name, the face, the blessing. In Psalms 138 verse 2, it says, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name. For your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. Everybody verbalize this last sentence here. The part where it says, for you have magnified. Are you ready? For you have magnified your name, above all your name. So you have magnified. Take a moment to think about that. What does that mean? You have magnified your word above all your name. Let me give you two thoughts on that verse. Number one, what gives a name meaning? Words, correct? Correct? For example, we sang this morning the name of Yeshua. Yeshua, right? What are we saying? We're saying Jesus. Jesus, Yeshua, simply means, but the actual definition meaning Savior, save salvation. There's another song we sing, it's called Salvation is Your Name. So names have meanings from the words. If you were to look up what your name means, you realize that each and every one of us here, doesn't matter where you're from, your name has a meaning because it comes from the language in which you're from. So if you're from China or if you speak Chinese, you have a Chinese name. The Chinese name actually has meaning. And just like many names in English. Correct? Does that make sense? So names have meanings from the word. So when you're reading the scripture, and if you and I could read Hebrew, and when you see salvation, it's actually the word Yeshua. Are you with me so far? Salvation. When you see that word salvation in Hebrew, it's literally Yeshua. So it's like instead of saying Jesus, we call God Jesus, right? We call the Son of God Jesus, right? Instead of calling him Jesus, it's like you're saying, I believe in salvation. But salvation is literally Jesus. It's just because the Hebrew name became from a Greek name, and from a Greek name it was taken and transliterated into English, and you have Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But The literal translation means salvation. But you and I would miss that because we don't speak Hebrew and the name has been transliterated from one language to another and to another, and so now we have Jesus. Okay? Are you with me so far? So what does Yeshua means? It simply means salvation. And that's the name of Jesus. So here we have the word gives meaning to the name. Now, here's another one. Here's another thing I want to say about the name is what gives value to a name? If you say, I want to have a good name, not I want to have a cool name, all right? Now I can use this. You don't get confused what I'm saying. It's not having a cool name. What does it mean if someone says, I want to have a good and a clean name? It would mean have a good reputation, correct? Because my name has to do with who I am. My name has to do with what I say, what I do. And so if I give you something and I say something and I do it and you say, this person is reliable, he's got a good name, all right? Or if you go to a company, a shop, the shop also has a name, doesn't it? Shops, restaurants, they all have a name. And the reputation of that restaurant is good if you have a very good experience there, right? And you'd want to go there again because you say, oh, that's a very good restaurant. You call it by name. So in the same way, God gives us His word, His promises, and He is ever faithful to keep every promise that He has made to us. So His name is worthy. You see that? Okay. Why was Jesus called Jesus? It says, He shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people for sin. So the words give the meaning of the word, but the word is also the promises given to us, and He is faithful to keep it. Therefore, He has a good name. His name is worthy to be praised, because it's not as if His name is Jesus and He didn't do anything about it, right? He did something about it. He was faithful to the very end. So let me encourage all of us here. Why don't you find out personally what your name means? And then maybe ask the Lord, I want to live up to that name You have given me. All right? How is that? If your name is beautiful, then you say, well, let me be beautiful before the Lord. My name, Ludwig, because I go by that name, actually means warrior. So I better be a warrior. Okay, mighty warrior it is. Okay, so find out what your name is. And maybe you want to say, God, I want to live up to my name. I want to live up to the name that You have given me. Amen? So your name, You have magnified Your name above Your word above all Your name. So two thoughts here about the name and the word. So if I have no words, I don't have a name. But the word explains the name. And so here we find Psalms 101 and 2. And I'm going to read a couple of verses here. We all want blessing, don't we? Blessing. So there's the blessed man. Are you ready? Read it with me. Psalms 1, verse 1 to 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. So here you have the blessing attached to the, well, here specifically we read more so of the word. But the word gives us the name. You see what I'm saying? That I'm trying to build a relationship here. You have a name, but the name comes from words. The words explain the name. How can I know about that name unless I find out what the words say? He shall be named Jesus, salvation. Why? Because He shall save His people from sin. So the word gives me the name. The word explains the name. So we are called to be blessed by meditating upon the word, the law of God, day and night. Just as we're called to meditate on the name of God. Just as the priest was to speak and put on them the name of God, and they shall be blessed. So Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, something very similar. It says, the book of the law shall not depart. Why don't you read it with me? 1, 2, 3. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way, and then you will have good success. All right, prosperous, success, blessings. We all want that, right? But what is it? What does it mean to be truly successful and prosperous? It is he whose word of God shall not depart from his mouth, meditate upon it day and night, observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then, only then, say then.
Then.
Okay, so meditate. We have to meditate his law, his word. Is that right? So, the name of God, the name of Jesus. Now, the name of someone, like I started off saying, you know, we want people to know our names. Is that right? We want people to know our name because the name speaks of my person. The name speaks of my character. The name speaks of my nature. It speaks of about me. It brings me. If you say someone's names and you know very specific who it is, it immediately you can picture their face. You picture their characteristic. You think about what they like and what they don't like and everything about them. You put a file out of your computer and suddenly you know everything about that particular person. Correct? Right? If I say Dino 10, I know exactly Dino 10. Oh, hallelujah! Correct? Immediately, that's in my mind, right? It brings me to the very person of who he is. All right, so here we go in the next point here. So from the name, the word explaining the name, now from the name, we go to the face. Everybody say the face.
Face.
Face. What do we mean by face? Face, we mean his presence. We mean his person. So when I say, I seek the face of God, I seek his presence. I seek his very person, the very being of who he is, the face. And there's a song we sing. I don't know if you've ever thought about this song, but the bridge goes something like this. We do not seek your hands, but we only seek your face. Actually, personally, I'd like his hand and his face. But okay, but there's a point in that song, I suppose, right? Because the hand speaks of what he can do for us, correct? But the face speaks of his very person, his presence. So that's why you have, in your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, oh Lord my God. So the face is more about his person, his presence, who he is. I want to be intimate with the very person. But I like his hand too. I won't lie to you. It's just not, you know, I do want both, but I believe this song is emphasizing is I'm not coming to God because of what I can get from his hand. I first and foremost want his face. His hand will move anyway, right? It's part of his face. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can seek the face. Don't worry about the hand. The hand will come. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's read it together. Now, we've read a few verses here, okay? Jacob saw the man, he says, I've seen God face to face. Is that right? I've seen God face to face. I've called this place Peniel. All right? And here we go. We find, maybe go back to number 6 really quickly. There's a word term face there as well. So in Numbers chapter 6, and it says, where it says, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, and make his what? Face shine upon you. And the Lord make his and be gracious to you. And then he says, the Lord lift up his countenance. So in Hebrew, though, it's literally the same word as face. So countenance and face there is literally the same word. So you could also read it perhaps like the Lord lift up his face upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Okay, so the word face. Okay, and Jacob saw the man face to face. I saw God face to face and called this place Peniel. All right. So here the name brings us to the face because the face speaks of the person. But who is that face? How do I see God? All right? How can I see God? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Are you there? Well, maybe you're not there, but it will be on the screen. It says, all together, let's read it with one voice. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All right. Where is that light that's been shown in our heart? The light of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Where do you and I see that glory? Where is that light shining upon whose face? It's seen in the face of Jesus Christ. So when I see Jesus, I am seeing His face. But remember, the name brings me to the face. I want to have a face-to-face encounter, but the name, His person, all of that brings me to His face. So we're going to talk about a few things here. How and what do we mean by how can I say, well, you say, well, I want to see the face of Jesus. So I can just, what do I do? Do I imagine it? Do I just picture someone with long hair? 2,000 years ago, Jewish man. I don't know. What do we mean? I want to see Jesus. And that's what I want to talk about. And that's the reason why we have the progression here. The name, the face, the blessing. All right? So what about the name. So first of all, I'm going to read a verse which we have read many, many times. Let's do it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. You ready? Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But with all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Stop here. Where is that glory of the knowledge of God found? In the face of Jesus, right? We read that a moment ago. Okay, let's keep going. So with unveiled face, are being transformed into the same image. Okay, whose image are we talking about here? The image of Jesus. From glory to glory. Whose glory are we talking about here? The glory of Jesus. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is very key in that process here. But note how it begins with the word, when one turns to the Lord. Everybody say, one turns to the Lord. What does it mean to turn to the Lord? Am I going to turn like this? All right? More than that. You can look up as well. I think that's a physical, there's a physical significance in that. But the word turn, in this particular word, throughout the scriptures, it's not only used in that sense, but many times, it's used to turn the heart. It's spoken of through the New Testament about conversion, when they believed and were converted. That's the word turn. The conversion of heart. Look at how that word to turn is used in this case in Luke chapter 1. You ready? In verse 16 and verse 17, and this is the assignment that was given to John the Baptist. Remember John the Baptist? John the Baptist who would proclaim the and make way for the Lamb of God. What was the angel saying that the ministry of John the Baptist? What was he saying to his father? He says, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He's going to turn them. That's the same word, turn. And he will also go before him in spirit and power of Elijah to what? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So it is a turning of the heart. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When you and I turn our hearts towards the Lord, when the Lord say to us, seek my face, and our hearts reply from our hearts, your face we seek, what happens? The veil is taken away. So the kind of turning here we're talking about is a turning of the heart. It's the idea of conversion, which means it has to do with repentance. It has to do with turning away from our sin and putting our trust in Jesus and looking upon Him, looking at Jesus. Just a few verses here. Psalms 27 verse 4 says, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And in verse 8, which I've just said, but we'll say it again, read it again. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. So we want to seek the face of God. But if I just said to you, seek the face of God, I'm sure you and I, you know, I'm sure you've been in the faith long enough to have an idea how you might do that. But let me bring to you something that I think will maybe add to the value of when we say, let us seek the Lord. And the last one, as we know, point three, we'll get to that in a moment. But before we get to the blessing part, which I won't spend much time on at all, but here we find, everybody say with me, the name, the face. So the name, how do I get the meaning of the name? How do I get the significance of the name? How do I know the purpose of that name? The word. Therefore you shall meditate. Blessed is the man who meditates upon his name, law, day and night. So the name brings me to the face. Follow this with me. Can you see this? The name brings me to the face. But the name, I get to understand that name. I get to know that name. I get to search and understand that name deeper when I seek it and I see it in the Word of God. You say amen? All right? So for example, right, many of us say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sometimes though we know Jesus is Savior, but that name actually has meaning. Let me find out in the Scripture, what does God say about salvation? There needs to be sacrifice of blood. There needs to be death. There needs to be redemption. There needs to be a form of purchasing. You know, all of that is found in the Scriptures. Did Jesus not say in Luke chapter 24, the law of Moses, the prophets, and all the Scriptures speak concerning me? They speak concerning me. So the Word speaks of Jesus. The Word reveals the name, and the name brings me to the face of Jesus. Then you shall be prosperous. Then you shall have blessing. Then you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers, bearing fruits in its season, whose leaves will not wither. You say amen? So summary. Now, as we talk about the blessing, some of us think blessing in terms of a better house, a better job, a better this and a better that, right? We want the blessing of God. What is the blessing of God? The greatest blessing that any person can have is a blessing of salvation. It's a blessing that's found in Jesus. That gospel that was preached to Abraham, you and I can receive the blessing. So all of that, saying all of this, what are we saying here? And let's be honest, sometimes we seek God to get something out of him, right? We want something and so we say, I'm going to seek God and I'm going to pray. But I'm praying because I want something out of God. Whereas here we're saying, let's find the person and the blessing comes. In the same way, and I'm sure you've heard it from different places before or different people, instead of seeking the healing, you seek the healer. Instead of seeking the blessing, you seek the blesser. Instead of seeking for provision, we seek the provider. So when you find the provider, no problem. Blessing will come. Provision will come. If you need healing, you find the healer, no problem. The healing will manifest. So in the same way here, all of us want blessing, but what I'm saying here and what we're saying is seek his face and the blessing will come. So let's turn from this idea of I got to seek God for what I need, but I want to seek your very person because in that comes all the blessings that I need. So what does that look like? Of all that I've said this morning, what does that look like on a practical level? Name, face, blessing. Well, this is the practical part I wanted. So just pay one last attention here in this section here. Is Jesus himself, and I'm not saying this and I'm not making this quote, Jesus himself said that all of the Old Testament speaks of him. Do you agree with this statement? Say amen if you agree with this statement. Jesus himself said, all of the Old Testament, I'm not going to explain why I'm saying this, but I've done it many times, in fact. But Jesus said, all of the Old Testament speaks concerning me. Do you believe that's it's a right statement for me to say? Okay? It speaks of him. So, I want to know him, correct? I want to have a face-to-face encounter, right? And his face is his person, but his name also is his person. So what we've said today is like the blessing, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's the blessing. But he said what? And you shall put my name upon the children of Israel and I will bless them. There's a book of remembrance for those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name day and night. So I want to be one of those who meditate on his name day and night. So how do we do that? Let's meditate on his name. But by saying meditate on his name, so what am I going to do? Jesus. Okay, Jesus. What does that mean? Well, the scriptures tells me what that name means. So it forces me. I have to and I must go back to the word. I must go back to scripture to find out about that name. And so what do you find yourself doing? Meditating on the scriptures. Because these scriptures you're reading is speaking of Jesus. Now, as long as you, unless you see it that way, we don't think we're talking about Jesus. When you read the Old Testament, say you're reading something like this. The Lord, behold, God is my helper. All right? Say you come across a verse like this and you're saying, oh, thank you, I need your help, Lord. But do you realize that this is speaking of Jesus? Because he's our helper. You get what I'm saying? That when you see the word Yahweh in the scriptures, Jehovah, whatever you want to call it, it's bringing us and pointing us to Jesus. For example, let me turn to something here. It's not there. I'm just trying to show you practically what I think it looks like. Why don't you turn to Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 2 to 3. Okay, this is a practical part. Right? I want to hopefully give you something that says, okay, I want to see his face. I want to know his name through his word, because when I can see this, I can see Jesus. I can have a revelation of that name. I want a revelation of that name. So why don't you turn to Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 to 3, and what does it say? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For he is the Lord God, or the Lord who is my strength and my song. And he also has become my salvation. And look at the next verse. With great joy. Therefore, with joy, you will draw from the wells of salvation. Now, if you've read this verse, okay, you've read this verse maybe before, maybe not. But if you come across to that a verse like this, what does that mean? Are you thinking, I'm seeing Jesus in that verse? Or are you just thinking, praise the Lord, you know, God is my salvation, and that's it, right? But when you meditate on that verse, you say, I am seeing Jesus in those verses. If I would pay attention to that verse, if I would meditate upon it and seek the Lord in that verse and seek to see Christ in that verse, and let me have a revelation of what that verse means. If we can go back to the previous verse, it says, behold, God is my salvation. If you had to guess what the word salvation is, what is it? Yeshua. I will trust. So behold, God is my Jesus. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, or the Lord Yahweh, is my strength. So Jesus is my strength. Jesus is my song. He is my salvation. And look at the next verse now. Therefore, with joy you will draw from the wells of salvation. So there's a well I can draw from the name of Jesus. In that name, Yeshua, salvation. It is actually that. If you read the Hebrew, literally, it is the word Yeshua. But think with me for a moment. Can we take that one step further? You're thinking, thank God, my salvation. God is my salvation. He is my strength, my song. I will trust in Him. I will not be afraid. He has become my salvation. So, great. But then He says, you shall draw from that well. Lord, I want to draw from that well. Let's take it one step further. Which well did Jesus talk about in the book of John? There's a woman at the well, right? The woman at the well, there was a physical well where you draw water from. And here Jesus is saying, if you knew who was asking you for a cup of water, you would ask him for a drink. He says, but sir, you have nothing to draw from that well. The well is deep, but you've got nothing. He said, this water that you drink in this well, you thirst again, correct? But this water that I give to you will spring forth into everlasting life. So you think of that verse, he's like, I'm going to draw from that well. That's the well that Jesus was telling the woman at the well, come and draw from that well. It leads to eternal life. So what I'm saying here, you meditate on his name. You meditate on his word. It gives meaning to that name. It explains that name. And through the name, you can see the face of Jesus. Can you say amen? Let me end now with a conclusion. A few thoughts here, and I'm going to add maybe one more, which is not written there. But number one, practically, what can we do? Let our hearts, why don't you read it with me? Number eight, let our hearts turn to Him and burn for Him. That's in surrender, right? Talking about surrender. Let our hearts turn. It's a heart thing. You can't force yourself. You have to come from your heart. Number two, have a passion to see Christ revealed through the Word of God. You see, when you meditate on those words, you say, wow, I see the name of Jesus there. I see His character. I see His nature. I see His goodness through that verse. And I can see it in the things that I'm going through. I see Christ revealed. I see the beauty of who Jesus is. So turn those verses into prayer. Turn into prayer. Memorize verses. Think about its meaning. Ask the Holy Spirit, unveil to me, what does it mean? There's a great prayer, or at least the Jews pray it a lot, but it's called, well, they call it the Shema, right? Because it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, all your soul and all your strength. But the Lord is one, and I'm not going to do this now, but why don't you ask, Lord, what does it mean to be one? I know some of you are going to think of Trinity. The Lord is one. Sure, that's true, but there's got to be more than that. Help me to see. You are one. You are one. So maybe John 17 gives us an idea of what that looks like. I'll just leave it there. Jesus prayed, let them be one, just as you and the Father Jesus are one. That's what I'm asking you. This is what I'm saying, the practical aspect. You want to see that name. I am the Lord who is one. I am Yahweh who is one. What does that name mean? God, show me that. Reveal that. There's so much more I need to see. See, take the time to meditate on the names of God through the Word and behold His face in stillness. One thing I like to do is, you know, probably you're the same. I'm sure if you've seen a baby sleeping, you can just, wow, so cute. True or not? See, I use the word cute. In this case, it's right to use cute, not everything. All right? Okay, that's cute. Okay? Some people think tiny little things, oh, it's so cute. Okay, well, yeah, cute for you, not cute for me. Babies, cute. All right, anyway. All right, but my point is, when you just look at the babies, and I'm sure Dino would understand this. Look at him. He's beholding. Look at him. Ah, beholding. He's like Simeon beholding in his hand the salvation of God.
I behold, I take the time, right? I won't be doing stuff while I'm beholding. I'm just take the time and behold. So we have to take the time to behold, not being busy and trying to behold at the same time. And the last one, and this is what I say here, is behold Jesus through the Word and through the Scriptures and through His name. His name brings me to His face. His face brings me to the blessing. But in experience, what does that look like? And earlier we read a verse during our prayer time. We say, you know, I will let my goodness pass before you. I'll see the goodness of God. So when you see the goodness of God in your life, can you see Jesus in that goodness? We ought to. You say amen? In every day of our lives, when you are going through something difficult and you see the intervention of God, what is that? Salvation. That's deliverance. That's you coming out from a situation and God vindicating you, or God delivering you, or God, you know, having your back or something like that. You are seeing the salvation of God. All right? Not just the heaven and hell aspect, which is crucial, is essential, right? But because we think about salvation as being when I first received Jesus, and we forget about salvation, well, I'm already saved, which is true and which is essential for every believer. But every day, every moment, things we go through, we are in need to see His salvation. You might be like King Jehoshaphat and nations are coming against you. And what are you going to do? You're going to set praises, His people to sing and praise. And what's God's going to do? He's going to set ambushes. All right? And what did He do? He stood still. Maybe that's another message in itself. He stationed Himself. He positioned Himself. He set Himself. He stood still. And what did He behold? The salvation of God. So in every day of your life, you can see the salvation of God in practice because He intervened. So you see Him. All right? So I'm just trying to give you some ideas. How can we set our eyes on Jesus? How can we behold His face? Well, let's learn and do it by meditating on His name, because with His name comes the blessing. Let's do it when we recognize what God is doing in every day of our lives, His protection, His provision, and how He's opened doors. Amen? Let's rise to our feet. All right. Hallelujah. So maybe just read that summary. We're going to verbalize that summary slide. Maybe I can get the worship team here. Won't you verbalize this last summary here with me? Okay, we're going to read those, just the one before, please. One more screen. Yeah, that's the one there. Everybody say with me. Say with me, from the Word to the name. From the name to the face. From the face to the person. From the person to the blessings. So ultimately, we're talking about His very person. You know, I want you to tie this in with some of those things we've been talking about. We've been talking about, what is worship? Worship is to bow, right? In humility. It's that attitude of bowing before the Lord in surrender. And here we're talking about here, it's our priestly service to God. And here we have a blessing that the priest was supposed to do upon the people of God, right? You shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.